Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
Hi, I'm Joe Cole.
You are listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Throw, ball's gonna bounce down, it's free in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It's 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. This is the Unused Substitutes, the off-season editions of Rowdy's Talk Radio of the Green and Gold Gospel. My name is Matt. On the other line is Dan, I think. I think everything's still working.
I hope so. That'd be a mess.
Hello? I mean, it usually turns into a mess anyway, but at least one that we didn't intentionally do.
Right. I mean... I try to derail the show at times, so this time...
we both do our fair share. We are live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Game Network, and sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. And if all goes to plan, then this show will actually go out on the podcast form tonight, shortly after I put last week's out there. So you know what happened. I was at Dunn Shamrock last night for the men's friendly with Peru. And someone asked me, where's last week's episode? And I was like, it's probably still on the desktop of my computer because we did the show Wednesday night. And then I had Thursday off. I was supposed to go. I had a ticket for the men's friendly in Tampa against Columbia. And then took my daughter to her bus, came home, sat down and started doing some grading some papers and stuff. And her school called and said she's got a very, very low fever, but we have to send her home. So I drove all the way down to Sarasota to go pick her up and came home, and I completely forgot about everything else I was going to do that day. And then since it didn't get done on like one of the 2 days that I usually do it, then that just didn't pop in my head the rest of the time. So we'll put that out. I guess we'll do both shows tonight. Why not? We can ruin 2 hours of your life for the next week.
Yeah, I would recommend spacing us out.
Yeah, or just, you know, tuning us out.
The funny part is they'll listen to this episode second, and they'll never know.
Well, if they go in in order, because most of the programs probably go, like, most recent to, I don't know. I got to figure it out. Maybe I'll release them a few hours apart to make sure they show up in the feed and in the right order.
Yeah, do that, and then whatever.
Yeah, you can do something like that. Well, as we alluded to in the introduction to the show, it is now the off season. 16 teams are still playing in the league. Not us. All the possibilities, the chances, the if this happens and that happens, all depended on us doing one thing, which was winning a game or two, and didn't do that. Last week's show, we talked about I've lost track at this point. Who did we lose to last week? Not the last game, but the game before.
The home game?
Yeah.
I don't remember. It was a winnable game, too.
Yeah, it was.
I've already started deleting the season from memory.
Yeah, I've been doing the whole Eternal Sunshine method. God, what was it? I mean, we had some choice words for the referee from the from behind the goal.
It was Charleston.
Yeah.
Charlotte, sorry. Charlotte.
Even worse. Wait, did they didn't make the playoffs either, did they?
I don't think so. Yeah, there's Jake.
Okay.
Jake Sivanis. Okay.
The one guy who knows. We appreciate it. Yeah, lost to Charlotte. And then last weekend went on the road and lost to Bethlehem. So what 1-0 game. I mean, it was is there a good, bad, ugly we can do for this?
Do we even care? I mean,
all right, like, good. The season's over. Like, it was over the week before when we were definitely out of the playoffs. That's when it was official, you know, all but officially over. Officially over last weekend. It really was probably over 2 or 3 weeks ago. I know they were still, the possibilities were still alive, but honestly, and we mentioned this, you know, going back, you know, weeks and months ago, this did not feel like a playoff team. Like, you know, you just get a vibe watching them play and seeing, you know, the way we played, you needed to catch breaks, and we didn't catch a single one. And you shouldn't be in a position where you need to rely on the breaks or rely on the referee to be perfect or rely on anything outside of your own control. So that's it. 2018 is over. Thank God. It's done. We can start looking towards next season. It's 2019 now. So
let us mourn. It's okay. It's healthy to mourn and go through the motions and feel the sadness of the season and whatnot. And because it's gonna in a couple weeks, I think it's gonna get pretty rough here. Cuts.
We've been mourning this season like as it's been going on. it's been a work in progress.
But then they gave us hope, and then they gave us hope, and then. There was no hope. There was no hope.
Nope.
What's the joke, you know, about Bob Hope and, I don't know, is that Obama joke?
Hope and, I forget.
Yeah, you know, one of those memes.
Yeah, I know what you're getting at, but yeah, I forget. I don't remember.
But we had that hope, and it was fun. I mean, come on, like the 3-0 win over Richmond was a lot of fun, and that was the fun game of the season. I don't know. Like, I'm glad the season's over. It's been a ride, and that felt it was like a roller coaster that went on too long, and you just wanted to get off the ride, and we're done. But it's sad. I mean, I enjoy obviously going to games and everything, but the well's about to dry up for the winter, you know. Soon, you know, we'll get the press releases about players that are that aren't returning, and then we'll hear nothing for weeks, and then, you know, this player will sign and that player will sign, and then it's gonna get kind of boring on the Rowdies front for a bit.
So we are gonna do kind of like a season review, as painful as that'll be, but we're not doing it this week. Is it?
No. Yeah.
Are we going to try and cram it all in next week, or do you want to like break it down? I don't know. Go like, you know, quarter of the season, second quarter, like that kind of stuff, and do it over a series of episodes.
Can we really string it out that long?
I think we could. It depends on our approach.
Yeah,
I do gotta say I admire us for our transparency, like doing stuff that we could be talking about off the air, like live during the show.
Well, here's, you know, a little more insight is we didn't plan this show either, and you want us to plan ahead for three end of the year shows?
Look, I've been tutoring middle school math for the last like 2 hours, and there's a reason they don't let me teach middle school math anymore. So my brain's already fried. But there is some, you know, bits of news and bits and pieces of news to go with tonight, and we'll just kind of throw some stuff against the wall and because that just kind of feels like at the point you're like, I don't really want to talk about the playoffs because we're not in it. Doesn't matter. What playoffs? There's no playoffs. Season's over.
The only time I will recognize the playoffs is if and when Cincy loses before the championship game.
So this weekend, you mean?
If they lose this weekend to Nashville, I will dance in the streets.
Go on, Pickens, do it.
Yeah, if Matt Pickens, like, penalty, if it goes into, like, a shootout, like PKs, and Matt Pickens wins it for them, I will find a way up to Nashville to hug that giant bearded man.
I like that plan. This weekend, we are Nashville fans.
Yep.
All right. So, a couple things. Oh, I forgot my my notes aren't in our usual notes spot. Let me go see, because some of the stuff started coming out in the last day or two. I noticed, so like I said, I was at Shamrock last night. I got home around 10:30, was flipping through the tweets. I see the schedule for the Florida Cup has come out.
Did it? Because I don't follow the Florida Cup at all. Is it anybody good?
Sao Paulo, of our supposed partnership that's never been heard of since the big deal was made about it in the first place.
That was the Bill Edwards era. That's over.
It's Sao Paulo. It's Flamengo, Ajax from Amsterdam.
I've seen that.
And Eintracht Frankfurt, which I'm probably mispronouncing. It's those four teams. Frankfurt and Sao Paulo are going to play at Al Lang on January 10th.
Oh, so I don't even get Ajax here.
No. I mean, we're going to get Sao Paulo, and I think you're going to get a crowd with them. The other three remaining games are going to be played at Orlando City Stadium. So you've got Ajax against Flamengo on January 10th, same day as the games at the game at Al Lang, both kicking off at 7 p.m. Tickets are on sale for all the games except the Al Lang game so far. Maybe there's a little delay with the because I guess we're officially in the Rays era now, aren't we? Pretty much. City council voted, and like, are we switched over now?
I forgot the date that was supposed to happen, but probably. I mean, I assume so.
Might as well be. Then there's two games on January 12th, a doubleheader at Orlando, 1 o'clock p.m. Sao Paulo against Ajax, which that sounds like it'd be a fun game, and Flamengo and Frankfurt at 4 p.m. And then it's just they don't have any of the local, not pulling any U.S. teams, or they've got a couple Europeans and a couple South Americans, or the Brazil and Europe is what they're billing it as. So, we'll have a fun game at Al Lang at least. I'll definitely try and go to that one. Maybe try and flex the media credential muscle and get in that way.
Yeah, Jake,
try and get some fun from that.
Jake said sale's not final, no date announced.
Okay. So we've got that to look forward to. I mean, who was it that was there? I didn't go last year. Was last year the Polish team and athletic, the Colombian team, Nacional. Yeah. I did go last year.
I did not.
That was a fun crowd. Everyone got along, but you definitely had some spirited fans on both sides there. The Colombian fans far outnumbered the Polish ones, but it was a good show. It was a good crowd. So I'll look forward to that one again this year. You should go this time.
I have no desire to see either of those teams. If Ajax was going, I'd go, but I have no desire.
You don't want to go to Orlando to see Ajax?
No, I don't want to go to Orlando to see anything.
I'm going to Orlando on Sunday to save the crew.
They've already been saved.
Yeah, but it's not official until I help out.
Okay,
I'm just saying.
I want to go to Orlando to go to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, but that'll happen soon.
True. I'm going Sunday with blonde Ryan Sudol.
Okay, he doesn't look blonde. He looks like he's aged terribly.
We were making comparisons of him the other night to Joe Pesci from Lethal Weapon.
Yes, I could see that.
To blonde Ted Mosby.
Except Ted Mosby is awesome.
Well, like Ted's cool, but I mean, looked alike at least.
I would say like Joe Pesci, but way less cool because he doesn't, he's from Chicago.
I was saying Joe Pesci from JFK.
I mean, he's still not Joe Pesci because Joe Pesci is awesome and and not from Chicago.
And Ryan took no offense to any of this whatsoever.
I mean, he thinks you're laughing with him, not at him.
No, he knows we were laughing at him. So that'll be fun. We're gonna go watch the Columbus game to celebrate the fact that they are remaining in Columbus by some. Now, have you been following the details of this?
Of Ryan's hair? No. Did he think he was Pete Davidson trying to find Ariana Grande? What? Oh, no. The Columbus game?
No, the Columbus, just the whole situation.
Yeah, that the Browns...
the Browns and others are buying into MLS and getting... basically, the one thing I read, and I hadn't read a bunch of different pieces about it, so maybe there was something misinformed in this one. Basically, Columbus's current owner, Precourt's keeping his MLS rights and taking them to Austin, and Columbus is getting essentially an expansion slot that's going to retain the crew name and history and colors and all that kind of stuff, and they're working on deals to keep the players and stuff they want, and possibly coaching, whether or not there's rumors that their coach is going to go be the U.S. coach, although I just saw a little while ago that some people are saying it's going to be Tab Ramos now, and that Berhalter might be going to LA Galaxy. But it's, yet another short circuiting of this, finally laid out expansion process that MLS has put out there and then blown up to shoehorn in areas that they wanted it to, didn't even apply in their deadlines to begin with.
All right. First of all, let's rewind. If Tab Ramos gets the U.S. national team job, I'm done for another cycle.
Well, I will say the one thing I said, did you see last night's game?
No.
So they played Brad Guzan may have been babysitting, because he was probably double the age of everybody else out there for the most part, until Bradley comes in. Ben Sweat got a start. I know he's a little bit older, but a lot of that team was made up of the U-17 kids that Ramos was coaching previously. So, if that's going to be the future core of the squad, he knows them. He's got relationships. He's had some success with them. It might not be a terrible thing.
No, it's a terrible idea. I have no desire for that. The whole Columbus Austin thing, it's so messed up, man. Austin technically has the Columbus franchise, but you're going to get an expansion franchise with all of your history, your logos, your team, and all of the intellectual property rights, blah, 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 blah. And, Precourt, you have an established team that's not technically an expansion team, but you have nothing. You can build it from scratch.
He's still getting exactly what he wanted.
Yeah.
And Columbus is getting what they wanted.
Columbus gets to keep what's rightfully theirs.
Because they're keeping their team and they're getting rid of Precourt.
Right, but Columbus is keeping what's rightfully theirs. The fact that Precourt is getting anything out of this deal without having to spend, a second fee is ridiculous.
Exactly.
But it's MLS, it's U.S. soccer, it's all an effing joke, and somehow the U.S. women's team is already beating Canada from a Rose Lavelle goal. It's 2 minutes
Because losing to the USNT is a tradition passed down since the birth of Canada.
Oh.
To paraphrase a South Park gif that I tweeted previously from Parts Unknown. That's a giant mess. And for those of us outside of Columbus who don't, aren't up front and involved in the situation as some of the Columbus fans we know, the biggest takeaway to me, other than, MLS is going to MLS, is this is how bad Precourt is that they're excited about being owned by the Cleveland Browns.
They just doomed their franchise to mediocrity for life.
I think the Browns owners are like a minority partner in it, but they're probably the most known face, at least outside the Columbus area. I saw one of the other investors was the Edwards family, and I was like, wait, what? Not that Edwards. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this all works out and what works for them. And they're looking at stadium locations and land and stuff outside the downtown area or right around the downtown area. So happy for them. Going to go watch them play on Saturday or Sunday, I guess, and leave my mark. And then that's going to be it for Florida-based soccer, I guess, for a few months. The bleak abyss of the off season awaits. Try not to stare too long into it, or else it'll stare back into you.
Let it bring it. I'm ready.
All right, let me go back to our list here. We were I don't know. There's not much you can say about the loss at Bethlehem. The team looked like they knew what was happening coming out of it, and you know, looking at what each team needed going into it, like the Rowdies needed to win and hope for some help. Well, no, at that point they were done. It didn't even matter. So the Rowdies were already out of the playoffs. Bethlehem just needed to not lose by 4 goals, and if they could score one or two, if they could score two, that'd be even better, because that would even them up on the third tiebreaker over North Carolina FC as well. And they got 1 goal, and that's all they needed. It didn't matter. Like I thought you might see a North Carolina team that was going to bunker down behind the ball and just. You know, park the bus, and they didn't really play like that, and we played like a team who had nothing left to play for anyway. Like that, I don't know. There's nothing else to say about this game.
No, it was, you know, a junk game at the end of the season, I mean, we played with a little bit of effort and heart, but you know, it just felt, it was just boring and meaningless for us.
Anyway, I'm glad that one's done with, because that just, you know, not a lot of hope going into that one in the first place. So I'm trying to keep some of these things in sequential order. I guess the next thing would be the open letter. Not from Galvin, but from Neil.
I loved that it happened, that was out there.
To me, it's like the content of it was fantastic as well, but just the fact that, I mean, when's the last time we've seen something like that from management, front office, someone involved with the team, like an open, direct communication to the fans?
Yeah, like it was a great gesture to say, like, look, to have Neil Collins go come out to the team, to the fans, and say, look, this year has been a roller coaster. It's been crap. You all deserve better, and I'm going to do everything it takes to make sure you get what you deserve. You know, it's been we've gone through changes from coaching to players to now ownership, and it's gonna get better. And this off season might be a little bit painful with players leaving and whatnot. But these are difficult decisions that he's going to make, and you know, have some faith in him. And they're doing everything they can to make sure that we are moving in the right direction.
So I opened up the letter here because I want to play a little game of read between the lines. But before I get to that, I want to say this line, it's in the second paragraph, jumped out at me when I was first reading it. We faced many obstacles over the past number of months, both on and off the field, and unfortunately we have not risen to these trying circumstances consistently enough, and that is why we find ourselves languishing outside the playoffs. And I want to give kudos to Neil for that, because I was trying to find the word to describe how I felt when that game ended on Sunday. Languishing is exactly the perfect word.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of wallowing around, marinating in, well, crap.
Yeah, I agree.
It's over with. But starting there, I'm trying to see, because the first paragraph, he thanks the fans, acknowledges the difficulties in the season. But it, right there, it also in that same sentence, I mean, he's taking full responsibility and for it, as well as the team as well. It's on the coaches and it's on the players. goes again later to talk about inconsistent results. And then, let's see, I can assure you that behind the scenes, substantial progress has been and will continue to be made to stand us in good stead long into the future. But where was the part I wanted to get to? Here we go. There will be many tough decisions to make, and none will be taken lightly or indeed shirked. But ultimately, after such a disappointing season, we need to make some difficult and radical decisions that will make us stronger and produce a team that will take us all where we wish to be. There's going to be a lot of change.
I mean, we need change. This year showed it. I mean, and not just this year. Like, there needs to be big changes from throughout. We've talked about it before with Jake as well, about the culture being changed. Mm-hmm. And that's going to require Neil having a couple of guys, like, you know, that he's going to probably keep from that he's brought in, and maybe that were here before. And then also getting guys that'll, you know, like he said in, what was that, the Business Journal article, where they're willing to kick their grands for him. And he's going to just, I think, hopefully create a lasting culture here, no matter what happens. What the Rowdy's Crest means, what it means to wear it, what it means to play in front of the mob and at Al Lang, and it's gonna be painful for fans, because I think this is just a hunch, but I think a lot of fan favorites are going to either retire or be done, or not yeah. play here. So it's rough, and nobody likes that. Everybody loves. The you know certain players and the one thing I'm you know it's gonna happen, say, I mean, this is, again, I'm just spitballing and I don't know any of this is gonna happen, but say like Georgie either retires or we don't sign him, you're either gonna, you know, hear a lot of, you're gonna see a lot of screaming about it online, but I guarantee you the, well, this is what happens when the Rays, you know, bought the team, you're gonna lose the face of your franchise, get the BS out of here. Get that BS out yeah. of here now. Like, just
are we blaming Moneyball already?
Yeah, right. Like, he just put it back in your, you know, just keep it. Just keep it. It's time, you know. I want to see where Neil Collins is going to take this team. And hopefully he has the budget to do what he wants to do. But we're in the USL now. Like, a younger, faster team is necessary. I think part of our problem this year was a midfield that was sluggish and that wasn't able to control the midfield, that wasn't able to move fast enough on the counter, that wasn't able to turn quick enough, that wasn't able to see the runs quick enough. So we need, you know, that needs to be addressed. And I mean, Domodoro was all over the place, and he's, you know, his youth came in handy. Junior Fleming's up top, his youth. And then you want to have a little bit of experience in there, obviously, but we're USL. We need to be a bit younger. I mean, don't get me wrong, watching Marcel Schaefer and Joe Cole was an honor, but I don't mind going younger. We should be going younger. Let's just, you know, appreciate what we've had in the last couple of years, but be ready for most of that to change.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's, on one hand, you know, I've been going to games since the first season up in Steinbrenner, and there's a couple players you mentioned, like Georgie and other ones, who have been around with this team for a long time, and you get to know them, you get to know, like, about them and about their families, and you know, they become fan favorites, and it's kind of a hard thing to see and go, but at the same time, this is a team that did not qualify for the playoffs, that frequently hasn't qualified for the playoffs. I mean, you know, made it last year on the switch over, but you can choose at some point, you choose between having the guys that you really like that you've gotten used to and you know about, or you try and make changes to win. And I think that's what they're going to do. You know, they tried to bring back some of the fan favorites for this year and in previous years, and it doesn't always work out. So on one hand, I hate to see some of these guys go, cause I like them a lot. You know, we've gotten to know some of these guys personally through, you know, post-game interviews and stuff like that. But at the same time, I want the team to win. Like, the purpose of the team is to win trophies. So, you know, you make a decision at some point, and you have to. That said, I don't know that you're going to see if Joe Cole is done, I don't know if you're going to see a player, you know, kind of at his level of recognition or a Marcel Schaefer, that type of player again in the future. But I think, you know, one of the things they're going to look at in addition to ability also, but just is value. Because at some point, you know, Edward said in the press conference, this was the first year that they broke even. Well, if the Rays aren't buying the team for the stadium and they're not buying it for whatever, as they've all, you know, announced and said and pointed out where it's in contracts and things like that, then they're buying it to computer update. Not right now, though. You know, then they're buying it to make a profit off of it. Like, you know, that's part of the reason they're in this business. Like, it's sports, so you're in it to win, but also to try and make some money. So if there's value to be had by signing maybe an established or an international player, if the cost for the player is kind of, you know, mitigated by increases in attendance or merchandise sales, then I think you could see signings like that. I don't think you'll see that, like I said, that level, but I wouldn't rule it out and say we're going to be playing, you know, like a bunch of teenagers. I think we're definitely going to be younger overall, but it wouldn't shock me to see maybe some older, and, you know, relatively older compared to the rest of the roster guys as well, too, mixed in for experience. We'll have to wait and see. I'm sure some of the news will come pretty quickly now that the season's over. You know, it always seems to start out like a little quickly, and then the spigot turns off for a couple weeks or a month, and then all of a sudden there's a week where there's a bunch of signings. We did see one report. I put it out there. It was in Danish. It's from a Danish news station, that Martin Vingard's contract has expired and he is not going to be re-signed. So it sounds like there's one we can say is definitely on the way out. And if that's true, then best wishes, because the article I read said he still wanted to play and was ready to play for a couple more years. So best wishes to wherever he ends up, and unless it's an Eastern Conference team, and thanks for what he did. 50, and I was reading this. Vingard's got 53 appearances. Like, that's one home season, less than one home season away from Neil Collins's appearances. Like, he's been around a lot longer than I think any of us really recognize.
That's because he's barely played.
Yeah, I know.
And that's not a shot at him.
53 appearances and one goal. Do you remember the one goal?
No.
I didn't even have to look it up. It hit me as I was driving home. I think it was the final NASL game against Jacksonville. He scored from
yes.
And that we were like, oh man, Martin Vingard's got goals, and then he hasn't scored since then. So if that's your goal highlight for being with the team, that's not a bad one to have.
I mean, he set up a couple of goals, but he's more of that deep. He played more of that deep lying midfielder role. So, you know, goals aren't exactly going to come by the bushel.
So if in fact this is true, and it looks like it is, I mean, I think they actually talked to Martin for the article. Let's do a quick review, maybe top five Martin Vingard moments. Number one, and this is no particular order, that goal against Jacksonville. Heck of a strike. Number two, clapping when Alex Morrell was subbed off that one time. That was quality. I got to find that gif again. The little web video they did of his apartment. The man bun. I'm trying to think. That's four. Is there another Martin Vingard moment we can come up with?
Anytime he smiled at you, I mean,
oh, true.
He's just a real life Disney prince. It's not fair.
Well, hopefully we'll maybe we can be in touch with him and find out, you know, when he ends up wherever he's going to go. I mean, it kind of made it sound like he might be heading back to Europe, you know, maybe for a lower division European team somewhere or something. Or that just might be my weird thoughts running loose in my brain. So if true, best wishes to Martin. Always welcome. at Al Lang. Hope to see him back sometime. Always enjoyed his Instagram stories from the balcony, watching the Grand Prix of St. Pete and everything else. The other kind of big league news that came out, I think it was today. Well, two pieces. There are some coaching changes for non-playoff team. North Carolina, I think we talked about this when we were watching the game at your place that night when Guinzotti got the hat trick. Like, their coach has been there for 7 years. What would it take for him to lose a job? And apparently it's you just can't give up two road victories to the Rowdies.
And make the playoffs only once in your seven years?
I mean, you know, you make up for that by beating LA Galaxy a bunch of times in the Open Cup.
True.
So Colin Clark is out in North Carolina. Keep an eye on them, see who they bring in. Interesting times there. And I'm not surprised, like, you know, number one, the results, but I remember watching because they've had so much success with the Courage up there. And they would do double headers where the men's team draws, you know, what, 3,000 or 4,000, and then there's like the stadium's packed, there's 12,000 in the evening for the women's team, which when you're successful, that's what happens. But I think they kind of want to get the men's team at a higher level. I don't know if you're going to get them to that level as the women's team, as far as the turnout and the support, but I think they can certainly do better than what they have shown in the past. And then Las Vegas Lights determined to out Las Vegas themselves again after Chelis left as the technical director and father of the coach. Have gone and hired Eric Winalda as their technical director and head coach. Like, is there a more Vegas move or a more Winalda move than to take that job?
Did you see Pablo Maurer's tweet?
That they tried to get Landon Donovan? Yeah.
Yeah, that and he's like, I'm not even joking. This is an actual 100% serious thing, that they tried to get Landon Donovan first. So Eric Winalda is not even your first choice. Some guy who's never actually coached and might just be living in Mexico. And then he turns him down. And Eric Winalda, who's all like, F the pyramid, open the pyramid. I'm running for U.S. soccer president. Rah, rah, pro rel. Everything sucks. America, U.S. soccer sucks. Oh, yeah, I'll take a U.S. job. Yeah, a USL job. Yeah, cool.
So a couple thoughts ran through my head, and I might be off on this one, but Winalda's one of those, like, he wasn't a big fan of the dual international, like, dual nationality players that Klinsmann brought in for the U.S. team, right?
I think so, because he just...
I thought he's one of those guys, and they want to recruit him to run a team that's, had a heavily Central South American roster because of Chelis. But also, I mean, that's that area. Like, those are the players that bring the fans out for the games as well, too. It'd be interesting to see how he runs that team. Does Freddie Adu make the roster on an Eric Winalda team?
Of course he does.
But I mean, will he do anything else besides walking the llamas out at halftime?
Yeah, he'll be carrying around the iPad that has Eric Winalda Skyping in.
That was question two. Like, is he actually going to be there, or are they going to use the hologram technology from one of the Vegas Strip shows at the casinos to just have him on the sidelines?
Yes, please, 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 just have a hologram coach.
I want hologram Winalda. Like, if you saw they're putting a hologram. Oh God, what was her name? The British singer that died.
Amy Winehouse?
Yeah, they're doing hologram Amy Winehouse on like a 3-year tour.
I mean, I hope that comes with holographic drugs.
But I mean, you've got to have hologram. You've got to have hologram Winalda if you can have hologram Winehouse, right?
Yeah, you got it. Like, and then when he gets his red card for screaming at officials or whatever, you just turn him off.
Ooh, there's a good. It's oh man, this is on brand now because it's Vegas. So prop bet: who gets more red cards? The Vegas players who racked up a number of them this year, or Winalda?
I mean, okay, didn't Winalda's Atlanta Silverbacks once get like 4 red cards in a game?
It might have been an Open Cup game.
Yeah, it was an Open Cup game, and I think they were down to like 7 men, and him and his coaching staff also got red carded.
Something like that.
So,
yeah.
So like, he's made for Vegas. There's going to be a week where they're forfeiting because they don't have players or staff.
It's going to be entertaining. But at the same time, I'm glad we're not playing the Western. Well, we usually get 1 or 2 games of the Western Conference. I hope we don't get Vegas.
I really hope not. I hate them. I hate them.
I still just want to play Sacramento one time. Like, if you're going to make people travel, make them go all out.
Right. I agree.
So, what else? There was something else we were talking about. No, I think that's kind of it. Do we want to do a quick preview of this weekend's playoff games, like final standings, playoffs, that kind of stuff?
I mean, we can go over final standings. I don't know anything about. I mean, just go Nashville.
Yeah, Nashville and Cincinnati are it's a rematch, I think, from last weekend, and also Indy and Louisville are having a rematch. That'll actually be a fun game to watch, I bet. Try to ignore the turf. Let's see. The final Eastern Conference standings. Anyway, what the heck? We'll throw the West in there, too, since we need to acknowledge their existence every now and then. Cincinnati finished 77 points. I think like something like 23 games unbeaten, something like that at the end. Louisville second with 66. Pittsburgh third with 59. Charleston fourth with 56. Those are your home playoff teams. Charleston's going to host New York Red Bull, Deuce, Pittsburgh hosting Bethlehem. Pittsburgh's first ever home playoff game, maybe first playoff game ever. I'm not sure. We got to cheer for Pittsburgh in that one, right?
I don't have to cheer. I'm only cheering for Red Bulls 2.
Against Charleston?
Yeah.
And I don't mind Charleston that much. They sent me a bunch of stuff, so
I have a rapport now with the Red Bulls. So we're going to say Red Bulls 2 and Nashville are the only two I really want to see advance.
All right. Louisville's going to host Indy. Cincinnati's going to host Nashville. First out of the playoff, North Carolina, 2 points back. Ottawa Fury, 10th place with 45 points. Charlotte in 11th with 42. The Rowdies, 12th with 41. I mentioned this to some of the guys at the bar last night. Of all the things that happened this season, the only one that still like really bothers me right now is that we finished behind Ottawa.
I mean, that doesn't mean anything. Like,
I just hate Ottawa.
They're all stoned right now anyway.
We beat them 5-0 and we still finished 4 points behind them.
Yeah, because then we lost 5-0 the following week.
Well, let's not talk about that. Yet. We'll save this for next week. 4 points behind us, the soon-to-be-relegated Penn FC, or self-relegated, or I guess they're taking the year off, and then they're taking a gap year before going to League One. Atlanta United 2, which in all honesty probably should be a USL League One team. Richmond finished with at least 5 straight losses, probably more. Minus 50 goal differential. Good Lord.
That takes talent.
I don't want to scroll back through their games to find like how long the losing streak was. Man, it's long. Let's see. Last time they didn't lose was September 1st. They drew Indy 1-1.
Good for them.
Man. So 22 points. Like, we thought we had it bad. Another future, or I guess now founding member of League One, Toronto FC 2 with 18 points. They did get 4 wins on the season, which honestly is about 5 more than I thought they were going to end up with.
I mean, that also takes talent.
All right, quick gut reaction without taking a look. Who had the worst goal differential of these 3 teams? Atlanta United 2, Richmond Kickers, or Toronto FC 2?
Richmond.
It's Richmond, and like Toronto and Atlanta are tied with minus 35.
That's pathetic. Like, God, man. Like, God, I just can't.
NC missed the playoffs by 2 points with a plus 10. We were 8 points back with a zero. We ended up on exactly zero. Only two teams who were not in the negative that missed the playoffs. Everybody else was Ottawa was minus 12. Charlotte was minus 13. Penn was minus 9. And then 35, 50, 35 for Atlanta, Richmond, and Toronto. That's your Eastern Conference wrap up for the year. Over in the Western Conference, Orange County finishes on top of the Western Conference with 66 points. Sacramento Republic, 1 point behind them. Orange County will host St. Louis in St. Louis's first ever playoff game.
They'll Sac be Republic, in the Eastern 65 points.
Huh?
They'll be in the Eastern Conference next year. It doesn't really matter.
They're going to be like their own one team, like Central Conference, all by themselves. They're going to be the pivot conference. They're going to just play back and forth every week.
Oh, they have one more team in the West than we do? I never knew that.
And there's no teams from the West that are dropping to League One, are there?
I don't know. I mean, maybe most of those two teams. Just move all of them.
Like Sounders, too, seem like a potential one that could be well-suited. Finished in 16th with a minus 31. But you've got Orange County hosting St. Louis. You've got Sacramento hosting Swope Park. Phoenix hosting Portland Timbers 2. And Real Monarchs hosting Reno. Oh, it's a Tampa Bay Lone Derby. You got Jack Blake versus Joachim Graf.
I forgot about Jack Blake.
We might have to find a way to watch that game. Those two teams finished 1 point apart. Well, at least someone made the playoffs this year. First out of the playoffs, I kind of thought this was going to happen the way their season was going. San Antonio, 3 points out. OKC Energy in 10th, Switchbacks in 11th, Fresno in 12th, Rio Grande Valley in 13th, LA Galaxy 2 in 14th, Las Vegas in 15th, Sounders FC 2 in 16th, and Tulsa Roughnecks last place. They actually won fewer games than Toronto.
But nobody has a negative 50 goal differential in the West.
I mean, Tulsa's at negative 41. They're not too far off.
Hey, don't take away our conference accomplishments.
You also have a team with a negative goal differential in the playoffs in the West.
But it's negative one, and it's
negative one.
Swope Park. Because
I'm still trying to figure out like the Western Conference. Like, what are they that good? Are they whatever? If you take away Cincinnati, who is an outlier with the roster they assembled, the including the people they added during the year. With 77 points, then 66 is Louisville's is the next highest total. That's the same point total that won the Western Conference. It's a lot closer. Like say Louisville was the only 60 plus point team in the East, but in the West you've got 1, 2, 3. Your top four teams all have 60 or more points. Fifth place had 59. I still don't know how to judge the Western Conference. Like, I think there's more parity there than in the East, even though they seem to have more of the two teams.
I don't know about parity. I think they're just bad in there.
Is it just – but, I mean, parity in that at least everybody's equally bad.
It's mostly because they're all pretty much MLS 2 teams, right? Like,
yeah, you've got Monarchs, you've got Timbers, you've got Swope Park, you've got Rio Grande Valley's like that hybrid team, you've got LA Galaxy, you've got – Sounders 2, so six of the 17 are two teams. What do we got? We've got Toronto, we've got Atlanta, we've got, I mean, Ottawa's basically a reserve team for Montreal, but it's not like an official thing. I don't know if you count them. You got Bethlehem and you got Red Bull, so what, that's four?
Mm-hmm.
So there's more. It's a bigger percentage. I don't know. I need to find some way to just watch Western Conference
or
sometime.
Listen to the USL show where they will talk about all of it.
This is true. I have a feeling they might be doing an emergency episode tonight just to talk about Wijnaldum. Or maybe trying to talk to Wijnaldum.
No, just cry. It's more effective.
so I follow you know, Faisal used to work for Howler, and now he's up in New York. I've mentioned him a couple times. So I don't know if you follow him. His account's on private, but he reposted, he retweeted the Vegas announcement, and you know the hold my beer quotes people do with the tweets. It was similar to that, but it said everybody to Las Vegas. Why can't you just be normal? Las Vegas screams, and then the Wijnaldum announcement. I was like, that's a good way to sum that up.
Yeah,
I'll take that. Anything else?
I don't think so. I almost never mind. Apparently, Tobin Heath is getting angry, and I'm missing it.
Oh, it shouldn't make Tobin Heath angry. They wouldn't like her. I mean, I would, but they wouldn't like her when she's angry.
I love Tobin Heath. She is the greatest American soccer player.
Did you watch the game on Sunday night?
I think so.
A minute 50 in, she puts one in the
Okay,
net.
I missed that goal because I was trying to log into whatever stupid thing. Oh, the Fox whatever, and I missed that goal, but I saw the rest of them.
Oh, man. It was a fun game to watch. All right. Well, let's get together off air and decide what all we want to get into and how we want to structure this for next week. And we'll be back next Wednesday and we'll talk about some more stuff.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get some other news as well. But we'll figure this out.
Oh, now I see why Tobin's mad. Okay.
I don't. Why is Tobin mad? I need to see.
Here, I'm going to retweet it in a second here.
Okay.
All right, there it goes. All right, so we'll be back next Wednesday night. I'll bring tales from the Crew game in Orlando, and whatever else pops up between now and then, I suppose. Rapino almost had a goal. So we love yous, everybody. Players who are staying, players who are moving on, anybody that put a shirt on and stepped on the field this year, thank you. Season didn't go the way we wanted to, but I'm pretty sure it didn't go the way you guys wanted to either. You know, you take the good, you take the bad, et cetera, et cetera.
The facts of life.
Yeah.
The facts of life. All right.
I'm surprised you got that reference. Like, I say something and you're like, I don't know what that is.
I love the facts of life. I used to watch that show all the time at my grandmother's.
The George Clooney TV debut.
Yeah, I do know that as well.
Here, you want to feel old? Since I got made to feel old today, I'm going to inflict it on you too.
Yeah.
All right. You know what Mad Libs are, right?
Of course.
Okay. So I'm helping this kid out with a math problem, and they had to write their own word problems. Which is like, you know, it's bad enough. Can you not mix together English and math? Like, one is necessary for daily life, and the other is math. So I said, well, let's do this. They gave like a proportion, and you had to write a math problem around the proportion and then solve for the variable. I said, let's do this like Mad Libs. And there's three kids in the room, and they're all like, what? What's that? I've never heard of that. And I'm like, oh, hold on. I need all of your names, because I guarantee you they'll be in like the school book fair this year, and I'm buying you Mad Libs. That's not allowed to be an unknown quantity in this world.
Yeah, I mean, Mad Libs are important to society.
I mean, they're more important than math.
Yeah, well, anything's more important than math.
I mean, I'm gonna follow in the steps of Dear Leader. I have a natural instinct when it comes to math. I'm just saying.
Oh,
I didn't say it's correct, but I have a natural instinct.
I want to cry.
All right, so let's wrap this up. We'll be back next week to keep talking about this season, and hopefully some news to share as well too. Thank you as always to, again, everyone that listens, to Wolfface, to our patrons, to Radio St. Pete, to Shamrock, to Mickey Quinn's, to Big Storm, and thank you to Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. Thank you guys for tuning in or downloading when I eventually post it. We'll talk to you guys next week. See ya.
Peace.
The radical there, the radical there, they get along.